This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A heartfelt welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We appreciate your tuning in today and invite you to join us at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
The Pharisees once said to Jesus, "Why don't you get lost? Have we, either by word or action, uttered this same message to him?" We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you continue to abide with us in spite of sometimes the treatment that you receive from us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may have ears that will listen today as your word reveals to us that tremendous love, not only for the city of Jerusalem, but for the city in which we live too. And not only for individuals who lived 2,000 years ago, but those of us who are with you at this hour, regardless of what our conditions may be. Lord, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, Lent is a very emotional time of the year. And this 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke is a very emotional part of God's Word. Let me read to you our text as it comes from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning with verse 31. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. But you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's our text. The Pharisees had come to Jesus and asked him that question. Why don't you get lost? Why don't you go to some other place and preach this message or whatever else you want to do? But let's not have it done here. Now, I don't think they were altogether concerned about the safety of Jesus, but they wanted to get him out of their hair. And they told him, "People are getting irritated at what you're teaching, especially those who are in authority. And Herod, you certainly have heard about him. He wants to kill you. So for the good of all concerned, Jesus, get lost." Have you ever had anyone say to you, "Get lost"? I have. It's about as cruel as you can say to a person, "Get out of my life. I don't want to have any more to do with you. I'm done with you." I can point to a few, not very many, but a few times where I irritated a person greatly, most often in the pulpit. They didn't like what they had heard, and I was trying to tell them that it was not what I said, it was what the Word of God said. And I recall that day when a man whose face was as red as a beet said to me, "Get out of my life. I don't need you. I can find another church." Well, that's what was said to Jesus. Most people might have decided that it was time to leave, but not Jesus. He could get a bit emotional too. And so our Lord said, "You go tell that fox," meaning Herod, "I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. Let Herod know that it is my heavenly Father who has set my agenda, and it will be accomplished for his sake. And this is the agenda. The essence of our faith is that we are living in a state of repentance and faith. And you do not know what that is really all about," were his words to these Pharisees. It must really have upset them. But then he sits down and in love. Because, you know, sometimes we think the law is only given in wrath. Not at all. The law is given to us because God loves us. And he wants us to see our sins, and those sins then can be brought to the foot of the cross, and there we can be forgiven. So he gives them three examples of how they're so confused in what they really believe. For example, you think that sometimes when a person has a terrible thing happen to him or her, that's because God is speaking out of his wrath because they have done something that is so bad. That is not the case at all. For example, I heard here a few weeks ago a commentator who was upset himself, for he had just learned that in one of the churches in Haiti, somebody had stood up and said, "The reason that we have had to undergo this terrible, terrible earthquake is because of a particular sin that we committed." The announcer, the commentator, was so angry, and so was I. But this is what Jesus is saying to them. There were some Galileans who evidently had some very unfortunate thing happen to them one day in the temple. And another group who were by the tower in Siloam. They got hurt. In fact, 18 of them got killed when it broke, and they died as a result of it. He said, do you think that those people who were in the temple that day when they were killed were any more sinful than the rest? And that God was suddenly going to strike them in a very, very difficult way? If you think that that's wrong, that's not the God that I'm representing, he said. My God is a God of love. He wants you to know that your sinfulness is not good and that judgment is right around the corner, but you can repent. And then Jesus tells them another story, a parable about a fig tree. And the man who owned the tree came to get some figs, and there were none there. And he said, I was here last year, and the tree didn't give forth any figs. So why don't you uproot it? Get rid of it. We don't want it. Plant something else. And the gardener said, give it one more year, and I will fertilize it, and I will work with it. And then if there is no fruit, then we can finally cast it out. And evidently, the meaning of the parable was that it was a day of grace, a day where God is merciful to us, far more merciful than we can understand in his love. And he's willing to wait, but repentance is necessary. And then he goes after them about their terrible legalism, which caused them to miss the whole purpose of God's love. There was a crippled woman, and one day right there, Jesus healed her. And everybody, you would have thought, would have been joyful that this woman who had suffered so badly and now was healed. But they were angry. They were angry because Jesus had performed the miracle on the Sabbath day. And he looked at them and said, can't you see? On the Sabbath day, you draw water for your donkey, and you see nothing wrong with that. But my healing, a child that had been created in the image of God, after all of those days of suffering, you can't understand that. Can't you see that your religion is lacking? And I want you to repent of that and understand that God is a God of love. And that's why I preach to you this way. And he wanted them to be saved. But the first step to this relationship is to confess your sins and repent. Jesus did not want any of them to be lost. He had a burden, a terrible burden for the lost. And we see that in the next part of the text, where he talks to Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you have killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jerusalem was a tremendous burden to Jesus. It's almost like a mother crying over a lost child. She's done everything she can to try to win him, for herself or for the Lord. But the son turns his back on the mother and will have nothing to do with her or what she is saying. That's the way sometimes people treat God. Get out of my life. I don't need you anymore. In love, God had sent the prophets. He had preached to them the word. What did they do? They killed the prophets. They stoned them. And even after they have done all of this, Jesus says, I would love to gather you under my wings, like a hen gathers her chicks. I want to forgive you. I want to enrich your life. I want to show you how desolate you really are. You think you've got it put all together, and you don't. You don't have the answer to the main questions in life, the real problems that tease you as an individual or as a group of people. I want to strengthen you. I know you're weak, God says. I know you have those appetites, and you don't know what to do with them. I want to forgive you, but then I want to help you get over them. I want to give you a new set of values. What is really important in life? When have you really arrived? I want to give you a vision of the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is not kept just to one people, but it is all over this world. And its citizens are those who trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. It is not simply Israel anymore, he was saying to the Jews. It is for all people. And now he says it is not only for Americans. It is for all people. And so no matter where we go, because the Word of God has been carried to all parts of this world by our missionaries, you hear people talking about Jesus and his tremendous love for them. That's what I want you to know. I want you to listen to some of those Africans who may not have the formal education that you have, who may not have the degrees that are hanging on your walls, but people who come to you today into your churches to tell you how you cannot, with all your wisdom, Americans, and with all of the things that you have to do with, it's not enough. And that man stands there in the pulpit, a product of our missions, and says, I want you to know, it's only when we found Jesus that we really found life. And I come here today to tell you, thanks for coming to our people, but thank you that I can come back and share the same with you. For some of you have really said, get out of my life. You are too busy. And that leads me then to the question, are we willing today to try to identify ourselves in this text? Are we willing to say that probably it is Jesus who is saying to us, I offered you this gospel. I offered you this forgiveness, this sonship, this daughtership, whatever you want to call it. But you wouldn't listen to me. You kind of, at the best, made it just a part of your life. I want to tell you, why don't you repent? Why don't you turn from those ways that are grievous to me? They're not pleasing to God. Some of your ways, for example, as far as these sexual practices are concerned, and that has such a hold on you in your culture. Don't try to justify them. Just confess them and turn from them. And I will forgive you. I will strengthen you. Oh, I know that some of you boast of a lot of wealth. But some of it was come by very dishonestly. And yet you are important people in the church. I work with you to repent. You are the Jerusalem of today. Won't you turn to me? Can we see ourselves there? when we utter some of this profanity because we're trying to strengthen our conversation and let people know this is a point that we've got to stress. And so we praise God in the services with our hymns, and we damn him in other parts of our lives. Of that I tell you, repent. Now, when we begin to look at things like this, people, that's beginning to irritate. Here are the emotions. But that's a part of the message that is emphasized so often in Lent. Our stewardship. We don't have very much time to serve the Lord, but all kinds of time for everything else under the sun. A neglect of his word. We can pick up the newspaper and all other kinds of magazines, but seldom do we have time to pick up our Bible and really read it devotionally. Repent of that. Turn from it. Do something else. Receive me. Receive me as that Lord who died at Calvary for you, that old rugged cross. Receive the gospel, and your sins can be forgiven. That's what I want. Oh, that I could have you. Do you see yourself? Can you identify yourself in this text that is ours today? Speaking to you first? Speaking to the United States of America? Oh, America, America, how I would love to have gathered you under my arms like a hen gathers her chicks. I've got the answer for your problems. But you'll have to dig deeper. You'll have to go beneath the surface of simply dollars and cents and powers and all the rest, parties that seem to occupy your day. And turn to Christ. I know that it can be foolish, that we'd waste the time to say this, but it has to be said. The only hope for us today is that Jesus has died for us. So let's listen to George Beverly Shea, that man who, together with Billy Graham, blessed so many people in this same message of repentance and faith, as he sings for us, along with the choir, "The Old Rugged Cross." Amen.
Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God
Lord Jesus, give us the grace to see whether it is the law or the gospel. You speak to us out of love. You do not want us to continue to live in our sins. You want us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to turn from them. And so, Lord, help us to identify ourselves in this text today, that we are a part of the Jerusalem as a nation and as individuals. And grant that we will hear you saying to us very carefully, how I would gather you under my arms and bless you and lead you and guide you and direct you and forgive you, that you might have the life abundant here, and that your kingdom might reach far beyond just these few years on this earth, but to live with me forever in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We hope that sharing the word of the Lord with us today has filled you with strength to face the week ahead. Christian Crusaders thanks those who have supported this ministry through their gifts and prayers as we enter our 74th year of continuous broadcasting. For your convenience, we can accept donations over the phone by credit card. You can call 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484 to take advantage of this service. You can donate securely online at christiancrusaders.org. Contributions can also be mailed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. This program is also available to be read or heard on the Internet. Please visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to find 10 years' worth of Christian Crusaders sermons that you can read or listen to instantly on your computer. Also find a preview of the upcoming program, a daily devotion, a broadcast map, two slideshows about our ministry, and more. If you'd like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. Again, that's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth since 1936.